Merry Christmas, everyone. Good to see you from up here. You know, the Christmas story has been told in various different ways. And when tasked to give a Christmas message, I cannot claim originality in the message that I'm going to give today, because if you look at Christmas messages in the internet, in churches, in your own experience with Christmas, I'm sure you have heard almost every Christmas message that we can make out of the scripture. I believe that for many years that you have celebrated Christmas, you must have heard different versions of Christmas messages and sermons emphasizing the different aspects of its significance. And in many of those different sermons, I believe that the central gospel message is not on the birth of Jesus, but it's actually on the purpose for why he came. If it were not so, then you didn't hear a biblical message on Christmas. Because that is exactly what the message of Christmas is. It is the purpose why Jesus had to be born. You know, Christmas is a great reality of the incarnation of God. That God became man is a tremendous, incomprehensible miracle of divine energy that brought God into human history. Isaiah 9:6 thunders the magnificence of this divine miracle. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And if we truly recognize that, and if we truly recognize that Jesus Christ, the central figure of Christmas, we recognize him for who he really is, then our grandiose celebration of Christmas is justified. But if we don't, then it doesn't matter how big our celebration is. We're just kind of having a party. But we're not really celebrating Christmas. We can call it Christmas, but it's not. To truly celebrate Christmas is to encounter Jesus Christ in a saving experience. Many people today come to church, they sing songs, they sing proclamations of Jesus Christ, but in their heart, Jesus is not who he is and who he's supposed to be. Then they're not really celebrating the reason for the occasion. To truly celebrate Christmas is to encounter Jesus Christ in a saving experience, to recognize who he really is and to worship him, to understand the reason for why he has to come in the likeness of men, take the form of a servant and become obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. To acknowledge that he came to die for our sins so that we, by faith in his beloved Son, in Jesus Christ himself, we can be reconciled to God and spend eternity with him. That is Christmas. Christmas celebration, therefore, ought to be a time of worship, a time of expressing our gratitude to the Savior of the world and a time of proclaiming the gospel mercy of the one born on Christmas Day. That is the heart of Christmas. However, the complexity of what is happening around us during Christmas season tend to drown the true message of Christmas. John MacArthur said this in one of his Christmas messages, to which I have actually adopted our message today. He said this: Satan has cluttered almost every good Christian concept with so much needless paraphernalia that it gets lost. So it doesn't apply only in Christmas. It says every Christian concept that you can bring, Satan will have a counterfeit for it so that it will be drowned. And people, even the people of God, will tend to forget whatever it is. Now, a little bit of history of Christmas celebration will help us to understand what John MacArthur really means. So, let's go through a little bit of history. The following historical account is the result of John MacArthur's research, narrated in his Christmas message delivered in 1974. I'm not saying I heard it in 1974. That will make me very, very old. I heard it like a couple of years ago. Although I have to admit, I'm already old, okay? So, history tells us that in the middle of the 4th century, the Bishop of Jerusalem wrote a letter to the Bishop of Rome, asking him to ascertain the date of the birth of Christ so that they can establish a date to have a celebration annually. Bishop of Jerusalem asked Bishop of Rome. The Bishop of Rome wrote back saying Christ was born on December 25. And by the end of the 4th century, it has become the accepted custom to celebrate Christmas every December 25. Now, we know, Bible scholars know that there is absolutely no evidence at all that Christ was born on December 25. In fact, there is not only no evidence that he was, but there is evidence that he was not. I'm not going to elaborate on those evidences. I'll just take John MacArthur for his word for this. So the question is, why did the Bishop of Rome say so? It's an official communication between bishops. So why did he say so? Was he lying? Did he lie when he said so? Well, the conclusion is that he did it arbitrarily with the thought, listen to this, with the thought that the wild winter revelries of the pagans must be sanctified by Christianity. That's a noble cause, isn't it? December was the major month of pagan celebrations, where festivals, feastings, orgies, and all sorts of pageants are put in honor of their gods, as the winter peaked and in anticipation of spring and the strength of sun returning and the clouds rolling back. That's in the northern hemisphere, by the way. Doesn't happen here. So because of that, because they worship different gods, they worship nature and all, because of that, December is a time of festivities for the pagans. Everywhere in the world, they celebrate. They have their own celebration. Every culture, every religion, every sort of practices, they would celebrate in December. And the celebration is just festive, because they are anticipating the harvest, a good season, and the provisions and blessings of their gods. Now, the Bishop of Rome believed that the Christian celebration of the birth of Christ will sort of eclipse the pagan celebration, thereby sanctifying them. So he was hoping that they are celebrating anyway. So let's just inject Christ into the celebration so that they will be able to like think Christ. It was a good thought. But he was dead wrong. Because history will tell us that right now, right at this time, for so many, many years, we now have a weird mix of pagan and Christian celebration we call Christmas. While Christians attempt to the best of their abilities to remain faithful to the message of Christmas, many today, both believers and unbelievers of Jesus Christ, celebrate Christmas, yet missing Christmas altogether. With all the commercialization and all the paraphernalia, the sales and shopping and the organizing of various Christmas parties, the simplicity of Christmas has become a huge mess. The Christmas spirit is buried only on those words, Merry Christmas. That's about it. But the rest of the celebration is just one festive pagan practice, unfortunately. No wonder many people today miss the real Christmas. So much distraction that people miss the Christ of Christmas. Think about the plans that you have for Christmas. What is the focus? What is the central aspect of the plans you have for Christmas? But you know what? That is not something new. Because if we study the Bible and we study the scripture, we'll find out that the very first Christmas, in the event of the very first Christmas, a lot of people already missed it. And if we study closely scripture, we should have been forewarned that the next time we plan for Christmas, and if we understand that there is this subtle satanic deception, we will be more careful in planning for our celebration for Christmas. So let's look at scripture and see the people who missed the first Christmas and why. And that's the title of this message that we have today. People who missed the first Christmas and why. I'm sorry if you're expecting a reminder about how Jesus was born and all the manges and all. That is not the message for today. We'll read scripture on the story of Christmas, but we will look at what is not there and what is not obvious to help us, hopefully, to help us truly celebrate Christmas. So the first text that I'd like you to look at is in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We are going to read verses 1 through 7. So Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 says this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. One sad reality that we can derive from this story is that Mary's giving birth of her firstborn was a lonely birth. It was a lonely birth. She gave birth. Look at what it says. She gave birth. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger. She did it all by herself. You know, Middle Eastern people are hospitable. The Jewish people are kind and caring. It is their tradition not to leave a woman in labor unattended. Those of you who came from that side of the world, you would understand. Now, there was one pageant that was shown, and they say that I think it was done by people with Ethiopian background. And an American was watching it, and he was so surprised because, you know, we always see a picture of Joseph and Mary with a donkey walking by their own, by themselves. Christmas decorations are pictured that way. But then this pageant, when it was done, Joseph, Mary, donkey, and all those, you know, relatives following them, all the women, because that is the culture. Women don't leave a woman who is pregnant alone. They have to be there for her to give birth. And this is the idea here as well, but the account of Luke says that Mary was by herself. You know, if they follow tradition, the innkeeper should have been there. At least he should have been there to call for help. But he didn't. The innkeeper was so busy, he didn't bother to call for the needed help from Mary, even though it may have happened in his own property. I would picture a barn, a manger, a kind of house. But the inn that is used in Scripture, the word inn, actually is part of the house. I mean, the manger is part of that house, the inn. It was not detached. It was not somewhere off. And when Mary and Joseph came to the innkeeper saw Mary was pregnant. Immediately he would have thought, something might happen here. I should call 911 immediately. But he didn't. The innkeeper missed Christmas for the simple reason of ignorant preoccupation. He was busy. It was the innkeeper. It was a time of busyness. People are coming in. They wanted to register. People are flying. We see the picture sometimes of people flocking into the town of Bethlehem because they wanted to register themselves. And so he was busy caring for his guest. He was busy looking after his business. He wasn't hostile. He wasn't unloving. He wasn't unsympathetic. He wasn't indifferent. He was just busy. And so he missed the very first Christmas because he was busy. Many people today are like that. They are too preoccupied with the busyness of the season that they miss the Christ of Christmas. Christ is not in their mind. Christ is not the focus of the celebration. So while celebrating Christmas, they actually miss Christmas. And it's all because of ignorant preoccupation. They were just caught up with being busy. That's the first, innkeeper. The second that we can see, we'll find it in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Reads, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why was Herod troubled in hearing that a king of the Jews is born? Well, we need to understand that when it comes to the line of the throne, there is a rightful heir to the throne, whatever kingdom we're talking about. All right, so here we're talking about the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of the Jews. Jesus was born. The way the wise men describing it, who has been born king of the Jews. And Herod was troubled. You know why? Because Herod is not a Jew. He was an Edomite. He was an Edomite. He is not the rightful heir to the throne of the Jewish kingdom. So why is he king? Why is he king of the Jews at that time? Well, he was appointed by the Roman Senate to be king of Judea because of the political favors he and his father have done for Rome. So the news of the birth of a king of the Jews naturally would cause him to be agitated. He has no room for Jesus. He has no room for the newly born king of the Jews. So Herod missed Christmas. He missed Jesus because of jealous fear. He had no room for Jesus because he was afraid of another king to take over his life. Herod did not only miss Christmas, but he even attempted to eliminate Christmas. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was tricked by the wise men, he became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time he has ascertained from the wise men. When I say he attempted to kill Christmas, I'm not saying about that he attempted to stop the celebration. What I really mean is he attempted to kill the Christ of Christmas. Because I've said earlier, to experience Christmas, to truly celebrate Christmas, is to experience the Christ of Christmas. Many people today miss Christmas because of the basic kind of fear that Herod had. They don't want Christ to interfere with their career, with their position, with their power, with their plans, with their lifestyle. They don't want Christ to interfere with whatever it is that they're doing. They just want to carry on and on, so they cannot stop. They don't stop. They don't take a pause to worship the King of Christmas. Oh, they want Jesus. They want Jesus only to be a source of the material blessings on Christmas, but they don't want Jesus to take his rightful place in the throne of their heart. And that's the problem. So the innkeeper missed Christmas because of his ignorant preoccupation. Herod missed Christmas because of his jealous fear and his unwillingness to give his life to the King of Christmas. But there's a third group that we'll find. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. Matthew 2:3-6, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. Now, the chief priests and scribes actually were quoting Micah 5:2. It's an Old Testament scripture, and they were quoting it, and they understand it, and they were saying it right. They believed the prophecy. But what is shocking in this account of Matthew is that they did not even bother to go and find Christ. They explained it to Herod. They know exactly what's happening. They were waiting for him because the Old Testament has prophesied that the Savior will be born. But they did not bother to go and find Christ and pay homage to him, even though they knew he was the promised Messiah. This is kind of shocking, because the Messiah, for the religious leaders, for Israel in general, Messiah is the one that they have been waiting for. And here, the priests and scribes were explaining to Herod, this is what the scripture says, he's going to be born in this place. But they did not bother to search and meet him. They missed Christmas altogether. And you know why? Because of their proud indifference. The proud indifference. You know, the chief priests and scribes are representative of the religious leaders of that time. They were so engrossed with their self-righteousness, their self-sufficiency, their pride, that they feel that they didn't need a Savior. That even though they know from Scripture that a Savior is born that day, they didn't bother to go because they don't need him. They feel that they're already, you know, they're okay. And we're with God. You know, that would later be proven in Matthew's account in chapter 9. If you go a little bit forward in chapter 9, verses 10 to 13, you'll find out that, you know, when Jesus was already preaching, this is what Matthew wrote. And as Jesus reclined at a table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, listen to this, this is what the Pharisees said, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Do you notice the self-righteousness in that remark? Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? If you don't, then read the stinging, blunt, and blistering, sarcastic rebuke of Jesus in verse 12 to 13. Matthew said it, but when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Proud indifference. Proud indifference is not realizing the state of sinfulness and helplessness and the need for a Savior. Many today miss Christmas, even though they are in the midst of the event, or that they are in the midst of the celebration of it. They greet everyone, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. But because of their proud indifference, they think they don't need Jesus Christ. And so they miss Christmas. There's another group that we'll find in Scripture. In Luke chapter 2, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. It's quite a long passage to read, but bear with me. We'll try to finish on time, I hope. Luke chapter 2, verses 18 8 to 18. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened to us, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. It's interesting that out of the whole Jewish society at that place, God chose the shepherds to tell of the wonderful event that night. Now we need to understand, the shepherds are the lowliest of the society. They're not part even of the average population. Of course, even the elite. What is interesting in this account is that verse 18, look at verse 18 again. It tells us that all who heard what the shepherds told them wondered. The word wondered is translated in a different translation as marveled. That means to be astonished, to be awed, to be like, "What? Really?" But the real sense of the word can be understood by the contrasting response of Mary in verse 19. But, see, if you look at that, verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their heart. So the sense of the word wondered now implies that even though they were astonished, they wondered, they marveled at the news. They didn't do anything about it. The general Jewish population in that region were waiting for the Messiah. That is what Scripture is telling them. They were waiting for a Messiah, but when they heard the news, they didn't do anything about it. They were busy carrying out their rituals and their feasts and all their ceremonies and rules and regulations, that while they heard of the wonderful birth of Jesus, they didn't bother. They missed Christmas because of their traditional religion. They were content with their religion, that they didn't see the need for the Christ born that glorious day. It can, sometimes, you know, when you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ to many people, it can bring out a surprise, an astonishment, and really, that's what they did. And then they turn around and then they just carry on with their religion. That's exactly what's happened here. So they missed Christmas because of their traditional religion. And the last group that I'd like to share with you, who really miss Christmas here, it'll be the Romans. The Romans. You say, what? The Romans? What have they to do with Christmas? They're not included there. They're the Romans. Have you noticed that the Romans is significant to the story of Christmas? They were all there. Have you noticed that while Matthew sets the scene of Christmas around Herod, the king of the Jews at that time, Luke, being a Gentile, sets the scene of Christmas around Caesar Augustus, a Gentile. The story of Luke of Christmas revolves around the Gentile. The Roman Emperor. The events surrounding Christmas were set in motion by a Gentile ruler when Caesar Augustus issued a decree that all the world should be registered in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. That actually sets the motion of all the events. The Romans were very much involved in the activities leading to the first Christmas. The Roman soldiers were, they made sure that everyone registered. They were the ones organizing all these events. They're the ones controlling the people. They're even the ones controlling traffic. They are there. They are there all the time. But in all the historical accounts recorded in the first Christmas, there is no record of a Roman citizen, of a Roman official, or a Roman soldier who visited the place of Jesus' birth. The Roman world missed Christmas because they were not even expecting it. They didn't know about it. Why? Because of gross idolatry. They have a different God. They have their own gods. Christmas is not in their list of festivals and celebrations. Oh yeah, they have festivals and celebrations. But because they have a different God, they do not look forward to Christ. So when he was born, they didn't care. What is it to us? And that's one reason that they missed Christmas, because of their own gods and their own gross idolatry. We have the same thing today. You go to the cities full of people walking here and there trying to buy stuff for Christmas. But that's all they think about, the stuff for Christmas. They don't think about Christ of Christmas. They don't think about Christians and Christmas. Interesting, when I was new here in my job, I have this supervisor. He was a very good friend of mine, but he was not a Christian. He comes from a different religion. But he would be the first one to go around before, you know, the last day of work, before you go for a break, and the last day of work, he is the first one who would go around, greet everyone, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. He's not even a Christian. He totally missed Christmas, and the same thing with many people today. So to summarize this thing, the innkeeper, he was just too busy. He missed Christmas because of ignorant preoccupation. King Herod, jealous fear. He was not willing to give up his rule to the rightful king. He was not willing to give up his life, control of his life, to the king of Christmas. The chief priests and scribes, oh, they were just self-righteous and self-sufficient. They don't need Christmas. They don't need Christ. The general Jewish population, they trust their religion. Their religion will bring them to heaven. So, do they celebrate Christmas? Yes, they do. But do they meet the Christ of Christmas? No, they don't. They don't need him. The Romans, the Gentile, gross idolatry prevented them from meeting Christmas. And today, we may claim to be Christians, we may claim to know Christ, we may claim to believe in God, but in our heart we have those idols. The things that we cherish, the things that we worship, the things that we adore first and foremost in our heart. And because of that, we will miss Christmas. You can be in the midst of the celebration, and yet you will miss Christmas because your heart is telling you to worship those things. But let me conclude this message on a positive note by pointing out the people in the Bible who did not miss Christmas. First of all, Luke chapter 2, verse 19. We read that earlier. It's Mary. You know, when the shepherds were telling them about what's happening, what happened, what has been revealed to them, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. That's the first thing. Mary, her heart was full of the knowledge of Christ. She treasured it. Luke chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and then verse 20, the shepherds. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it has, as it has been told them. The shepherds went. They saw, they believed, they left and proclaimed the truth as revealed to them. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, speaks of the wise men. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. While many will miss the true essence of Christmas when it first happened, they missed it when it first happened, there are those who saw and responded in worship and adoration and praise. May these people be our example as we celebrate Christmas. And may those who miss Christmas, the innkeeper, King Herod, the priests and scribes, the general Jewish population, the Romans, may they serve as a warning to many of us who have taken for granted the Christ of Christmas. Let it be a warning to us all, because to disregard, to ignore the Christ of Christmas while celebrating Christmas has an eternal consequence. Because the consequence of ignoring Christ is divine judgment. This is not something that we can say, oh, we can do it again next year. You don't know if you have next year. So if you miss the Christ of Christmas at this time, be forewarned. Because this might be your last Christmas. And if you pass without Christ in that Christmas, the consequence is divine, the consequence is eternal. It is judgment, it is dreadful. I commend you for being here today, because I believe that you came because you desire to worship Jesus Christ as you celebrate Christmas. You are testifying to the world out there the priority of worshiping with God's people in the celebration of Christmas. We are not here to pay homage to the baby in the manger, but we are here to worship Christ and to publicly proclaim to those around us that the worship of Jesus is the very heart of our celebration. It is a proclamation. I'm not saying that those who are not here do not worship. It depends on the reason why you are not here. There are many reasons why people cannot come for corporate worship. But what prevented you from doing so is the reason that really matters. It is God who judges the heart, yes. And each one of us is accountable, yes. But what message are you sending to the world out there who is filled with people who miss Christmas? I just hope that you didn't come just to fulfill your religious obligation, and that when you have fulfilled that, when you leave, you go to your respective celebrations, you will be drowned by the trappings of the worldly revelries and forget the real reason for the season. I hope it doesn't happen that way. I hope you have come because you want to worship with God's people. You want to show to the world out there. You want to adore Christ because this is the most important part of my Christmas celebration. The rest are trimmings, like trimmings on a Christmas tree. Enjoy your party. Enjoy the exchanging of gifts. Rejoice with the love of the people around you. But don't forget the Christ of Christmas. I hope and pray that your heart is set to worship and adore Jesus for who he really is and why he was born on Christmas Day. Matthew 1:21. The angel declared to Joseph, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." If you celebrate Christmas without recognizing that Jesus came to die for your sin, you missed Christmas altogether. I encourage you, get back to the true spirit of Christmas. Get back to the true reason for the season, as they say. Jesus Christ is the Christ of Christmas. He deserves all our worship. He deserves all our sacrifice. He deserves all our praise. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for reminding us of the Christ of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy that is embodied in sending your Son to be born of a virgin, to be obedient to your will and purpose, to be obedient even to the point of death, death on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that Jesus has demonstrated right from his birth all the way to his coming back again. He is the ruler. He is the true King of Christmas. Help us now, Heavenly Father God, to celebrate Christmas in a manner that is pleasing, in a manner, Lord, that we will not take for granted the Christ of Christmas. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are here today who still have to experience a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their heart, Lord, that they may realize that the purpose why you have sent your Son is that so we may have a saving relationship with Him. I pray, Lord, for your grace and mercy through the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.